Hello, everybody. This is Bible teacher Mark Browning. I'm coming to you this morning from our lake house in Kentucky. We have a lake house that we bought to come and spend time in. And then when we're not using it, we also have it for VRBO and Airbnb. So we're doing some work out here. And so that's why I am doing this through Zoom and through the genius of Mr. James Taylor. And so what I'm going to do in this Bible lesson is it's going to basically be a generic Bible lesson that every person should know. It's called Four Truths Every Person Should Know. Four Truths Every Person Should Know. I created this way back on March the 15th of 2005, and we updated it on May the 3rd of 2020. Now, the four truths that every person should know is this. Truth number one is that God loves the world. And really, the other part of that is that God not only loves the world, but God created the world. That's very important for people to understand. We've got a whole group of people that have been taught in secular classrooms that we evolved and that we somehow or another we just accidentally came to be. But we were created by a intelligent, wonderful creator. And the Bible expressly teaches over and over and over that God made the world and everything in it. God made the world and everything in it. In fact, I was just reading in the book of Acts this week where the early church prayed and they told the Lord, Lord, you are God who did make the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. So the God who made this world loves the world. And we're going to take these things one at a time, but that's the first truth everybody needs to know. You are created by God, and your creator loves you. The second thing, and most people like that when most people go, "Ooh, I'm glad I tuned into the Bible lesson this morning. I thought I was going to listen to Faith Hill and Tim McCraw, but I'm hearing this minister and I like that." But the second truth that everybody needs to know is that although God created the world and although God loves the world, the real truth of the matter is the devil is the God of this world. You have to completely not be paying attention not to understand that. There is never in my lifetime have I seen evil so blatantly obvious, so put in the face of everybody that the devil's running this world. He's running it because God put man in charge of what he created. The authority that God gave man, man gave that over to the devil. I'm going to show that to you. We're going to talk about this Sunday on the radio, and we're going to finish it up next Sunday. So I won't get it all said today, but I'm hitting these high spots first. The third thing that everybody should know, the third truth that every person should know, is that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. So God made the world. God loves the world. The devil became the God of this world. And Jesus Christ, who we find out in this Bible lesson, Jesus Christ, who is the second person of the Godhead, actually becomes man. He's fully God and fully man, and he becomes the Savior of the world. And then number four, the world is saved by grace through faith in Jesus. You don't go to heaven because you don't go to heaven. Listen, this is going to be interesting for a lot of people. You don't get to go to heaven because your good outweighs your bad. Because really, if we break that down to its lowest point, hardly anybody's good outweighs their bad, especially when you try to compare yourself to the goodness and the holiness and the righteousness of Almighty God. So God, in his great wisdom and in his great mercy towards humanity, sent Jesus so that all that's required for us to be able to enter into eternal life and to enter into heaven and to have a new nature and to become children of God, what's required is for us to believe what Jesus did for us. So you can see this is just going to be loaded with some great information, some basic fundamental information. But I want to tell you the real truth about it. It's not known very much in the Christian church. We spend all of our time talking about stuff that really don't make a bit of difference in the world. We spend too much time talking about things that are not important. These are important things. It's important to know that you're created by God. It's important for you to know that God loves you. It's important for you to know that the devil's the God of this world. It's not God doing all these bad things, and he's not working through the devil to try to make something good come about. That's not how God operates. And I'll have to spend some deep quality time sharing that with people, because that's one of the great lies that the devil sowed into the hearts and minds of people, because he wants everybody to think everything's God's fault. That's exactly what he did in the Garden of Eden in the very beginning. He challenged God's word. He challenged what God told the man and the woman. He said to the woman, "Has God said?" And then he made it out like God was holding something back from him. And they bought into it, and they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and the devil became the god of this world. So people need to know about that and understand that. And we've put up with a lot of abuse and a lot of people that have thumbed their nose at us because we will not buy into the fact that God is working through the devil to make something good happen in your life. That is baloney. That is not right. Keep listening. Don't turn the dial. Keep listening. And I know a lot of church people are mad about it, but a lot of people that don't go to church, they embrace it because they're smart enough to realize that how can somebody say they love me and yet they want me to die of cancer or be in a, you know, car wreck or have my ankle broken or something like that. Any kind of thing like that. So we're going to talk about that. And then everybody needs to know who the Savior of the world is. The Savior of the world is the Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one way to God. And again, this gets people mad too. But there's only one way to God. There's only one Redeemer. There's only one sacrifice that God accepts. And that's the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made on that old rugged cross when he said, "It is finished." And then perhaps one of the things that's going to be so hard for so many people to understand is that good works won't get you into heaven. The only thing that gets you into heaven is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you have the capacity on the inside of you then to do good works. Paul told all the converts that he converted that we were to maintain good works. He's told them in Titus chapter 2, the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. And what's it do? It teaches us to renounce ungodliness and worldly lust, and to live soberly and righteously and godly in this present age. So if you commit your life to the Lord, you'll do good works, but you'll recognize that those good works is not what's causing you to go to heaven. You're doing the good works because you already have heaven on the inside of you. Can I get an amen from my wife sitting here beside me? Amen. All right. So let's take the first step here. The number one, God, and I guess really, If I did this lesson sheet over, I should say, God created and loves the world. I should have put that in there, but it just says in this lesson sheet, God loves the world. And of course, the verse of scripture, well, let's just read Genesis 1:1, Trace. Let's just read that. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Notice there's no attempt to justify or to prove God's existence. Notice that it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In fact, Hebrews 11:6 says that without faith, it's impossible to please God, for he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So God made everything. He created the heavens and the earth. We've already proved that. And then God loves the world. The world was given over to the devil. I'm kind of combining one and two here. And so God, in his great love for us, demonstrates that he loves us in spite of us. And of course, the golden text about the love of God is John 3:16. If you're listening by radio or internet and you're new to the Bible, you're new to any of this. You just were driving down the road, or you got your car, your radio on 92.3, or John 3:16 is the golden text of the Bible. And so you might want to look this up for yourself. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I don't want to get bogged down on this verse because there's such great truth in here. I want to focus on the first part of it. For God so loved the world that he gave. See, that's what love does. Love gives. So let's think about that for a minute, context of what some of the Christian theology is out there. You know, love gives, love doesn't take. Did you know that sickness takes from you? Did you know that depression takes from you? Did you know that poverty takes from you? Did you know that strife takes from you? So those can't be from God. Love gives. Love gives good things. Another verse that I've read recently is in Matthew 7:11. It says, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good things? Say that, Therese. Give good things to those who ask him. Oh, the golden text of the Bible, John 3. And then a lot of people, we just need to read verse 17 too. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Woo! Isn't that good news? Isn't that worth listening to? All right. And then Ephesians 2:4. Again, God who created the world was lost and turned over to a fallen angel. That angel's name was Lucifer. Lucifer becomes Satan. He becomes the god of this world. I'll prove all this to you in these four truths every person should know. This is going to be out there. We can play this whenever we need to play something so that people can stay familiar with this. We're making no reference to current events other than the fact that the world's evil, but the world's been evil in 1960, 70, 80, 90, 2000, whenever you've been alive, the world's been evil. Nobody tells you the truth, folks. Nobody. The movies don't tell you the truth. Politicians don't tell you the truth. A lot of times, people close to you don't tell you the truth. The only people that will tell you the truth are the people that will tell you what's in the Bible. But Ephesians 2:4 says, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us. See that right there? But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us. That's amazing. Not only does he love us, but the Bible says he loves us greatly. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That ties in with truth number four, that we're saved by grace through faith. And that ties in with truth number three, that we're saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, that we were made alive together with Christ. We weren't made alive together with a religion. We weren't made alive together by baptism or some religious ritual. We were made alive together by union with Christ, by accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior. And then look at Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. See these verses, every one of these verses will back up all the four truths. See, Romans 5:8, God, what do we know about God? He's the creator of all things. Get that settled. Another verse I read recently that really spoke to me was in Romans 1. It says that mankind is without excuse. I think it's Romans 1:21. It says that even God's eternal power and Godhead are clearly seen. You know, you can't go outside and look at the sun, the moon, the stars, the trees, the animals, people. It says, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So God demonstrates, the Creator demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, see, we became sinners through our connection to Satan. We became sinners through our connection to Satan. Christ died for us. Jesus is the Savior of the world. And he died for us, and we didn't do anything to cause salvation to come toward us. God sent salvation to us, not that we love God, but that he loved us. And then verse 9, much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Woo! Isn't that beautiful? Man, that's wonderful. That is just wonderful. And then Titus 3:4, but when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Here it is. Well, see how these are all connected to these four truths. These four truths are all in the Bible. I'm thinking that the longer I do this, the more I'm just going to stay with this approach. Because if you try to take people very deep, they don't want to go that deep, because, you know, they might miss the next episode of, Yellowstone or something like that. You know, they got to make sure. Or, you know, me and Jordy's got to make sure we watch that basketball game tonight. I'm not going to say which one, because I want to keep it generic, but any sporting event. But anyway, but when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, listen to this, not by works of righteousness which we have done, see, by grace you're saved, but according to his mercy he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly, here it is, through Jesus Christ our Savior. That verse, those verses 4, 5, and 6, really sum up everything that the four truths that every person should know. God loved us. God saved us, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but he saved us by sending Jesus Christ to be our Savior. Can I get an amen? So now the second truth that everybody needs to know is the devil is the god of this world. And that's the reason why we need to be saved. See, let's get up. Are we at Romans 5? Let's go back up to Romans 5. Let me show you something, and I want to make sure everybody, this is a little hard truth for some people, because, see, some people compare themselves to other people, and that's a dangerous thing to do, because you don't want to compare yourself to other people. You want to compare yourself to the living God, and comparing ourselves to the living God causes us to recognize our need for saving. Romans 5:6 says, for when we were still without strength, in due time, listen to this, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. See, if you don't know you're ungodly, you won't go looking for a savior. And somebody said, well, you know, I try to lead a pretty good life. I haven't killed anybody. I haven't stolen that much. I work most of the time on my job. You know, I'll take my chances. Well, don't do that, because the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 3 that there's none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The Bible tells us that even if we keep the whole law and mess up in one area of it, we're guilty of all of it. So the law was given to show us our need for salvation. It was never given to lead us to, or to cause us to have eternal life. Paul said if there was a law given that would have brought eternal life, then we would have had eternal life by the law. But he says in Galatians that the scriptures have confined us all to sin. So Christ died for the ungodly. So if you're listening by radio or internet, we're not trying to be mean. We're not telling you you're awful. We're glad if you're a good citizen. We're glad if you pay your taxes. We're glad if you work. We're glad if you're good to your wife. We're glad that you're productive. But in relation to God, we all fall short. And so you need to recognize that, and then you need to come to Jesus and allow him to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, he who knew no sin was made to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. See, that's how you become righteous in the eyes of God, through faith in Jesus Christ. Everybody see that? So the devil was the god of this world. And so let's read that. Let's read a couple of these passages that clearly show that. 1 John 5:19 is probably one verse I've quoted more than any verse in my Bible teaching history. We know that we are of God. 1 John 1:9. We know that we are of God. Now, he's talking about people that have accepted Jesus. They're of God now. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. You want to get me fired up? Have me go to a church service where they're singing that God's got the whole world in his hand. That is so dramatically wrong. God doesn't have the whole world in his hand. Does that mean God's not God? No, God's God. He gave man authority. He told man to subdue the king to what he created. He told man to control it. He put all things under our feet, and we turned it over to the devil. And the devil now has man's authority. But here's the good news. The good news is Jesus became a man and took back that authority. And he says in Matthew 28:18, all authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. Now you go and make disciples of all people. It's amazing to me, you know, how we get it all twisted around and confused. You know, Christian music, thank God for Christian music and Christian singers, but so much of it is just doubt peddling. All right. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. 2 Corinthians 4:4, whose minds the god of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Listen to this, in the face of Jesus Christ. I don't care what denomination you're hooked up with, and I'm not against denominations, but Christianity is about having the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. No matter what you belong to, Jesus better be the head of it. Jesus better be the center of it, because that's how you receive the glory of God. Can I get another amen from my limited audience here? All right. Everybody see that? And then Ephesians 2:2. This is a good one. Ephesians 2:2, in which you once walked according to the course of this world. Listen to this. According to the prince of the power of the air. The spirit. See, the devil's a spirit. All these things that's operating are spirits. You can't see spirits, but they're real. They're real. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. It's amazing to me how we misunderstood this. And then John 14:30, and then I'm not going to go real long because I want people to digest this. John 14:30 says, I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. See that? I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. And then I want to get over and look at Luke 4:6, and I want to explain this to you. Great story. This is where, after Jesus has been baptized in the Holy Spirit, he's led by the Spirit into the wilderness, and he's tempted by the devil. Now, there is such great truth here. This explains so much here. And so, again, Some of y'all are new to this and you don't have access to a Bible, but if you get a Bible, these are good places to go. So then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, talking about Jesus, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, "All this authority I will give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours." Now, listen, this is a wonderful illustration of exactly what happened. Now, some people will say, well, the devil was lying. Yes, he was. He's a liar. Jesus said he is the father of lies. There is no truth in him. He lied in here. But in order to get people to believe a lie, sometimes you got to feed them a little half-truth. That's exactly what he did to Eve. Remember, he said, "Has God really said?" Remember? Oh, he's subtle. He's cunning. He's crafty. But he's a defeated foe. The lie here is what he tells Jesus he would do if he would worship him. That's the lie. He said, "If you'll worship me, I'll give this to you." If Jesus had bowed down and worshiped the devil, we would have been forever hopelessly lost. In fact, I'm not even sure that the world would have been able to be maintained, because Jesus would have bowed his knee to the devil. And Jesus didn't bow his knee to the devil. He said, "Get behind me, Satan." He said, "Get behind me, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." And another thing about this, if you knew that I had $1 million in my car, okay, I don't, by the way, but if you knew that I had $1 million in my car, in the trunk of my car, and I told you that I had $1 million in the trunk of my car, and you saw that $1 million, and it would be easier for you then to be tempted to try to break into my car and take that $1 million when I wasn't looking, right? What I'm trying to say to you is for something to be a temptation, there has to be some truth in it. So I'm telling you right now, I don't have $1 million in the trunk of my car. So nobody needs to worry about breaking into my car and getting that $1 million. But see, what the devil told Jesus was, he told him this. He said, then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, "All this authority I will give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me." Who delivered it to him? Adam and Eve delivered it to him. Satan, Lucifer, the fallen angel Lucifer, became the god of this world. So it was true that it had been delivered to him. It was true that all the kingdoms of the world were under his authority. It's true that he controls Washington, D.C. It's true that he controls China and Russia, and he controls everything that's in the natural world. It's true. So it was definitely a temptation, or it had to be something he could have done for it to be a temptation, because Jesus would have answered and said, "You don't have that authority. You don't have those kingdoms. That's not even something you can give me." No, he didn't challenge that. The lie was, because he did lie, the lie was, "All this authority I will give you and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours." That's where the lie was. If he'd have worshiped before him, he'd have committed the same kind of transgression that Adam committed, and we would have been forever lost. So, oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And by the way, another side to this is that all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time don't hold a candle to where Jesus came from. Where Jesus came from, the streets are paved with pure gold. All the columns are made of one single pearl. There's jasper and all kinds of things. But onyx, what are these? Diamonds. You know, all Jesus thought about was, hey, you can't offer me anything that my father doesn't have better And so he rebuked him and he fled from him and he resisted that temptation. But the great truth in here is that this world was delivered to the devil by Adam and Eve. And the good news is that Jesus Christ came in the flesh and got back what Adam gave away. He got it back. But what he got it back in is in the spirit world. And so you have to operate in the spirit world to see the victory. You can't operate in the natural world and expect to see spiritual victories. You got to stay in the kingdom realm because Jesus says, my words and my kingdom are spirit and they are life. You see that? And so Jesus came and got back what the devil stole. In fact, let me go over to this verse. It's 1 John chapter 3, and it's around verse 9 and 10. And we'll close here, and then I'll give an altar call. I don't want to give you too much because we're going to come back and develop this, but this is a generic Bible lesson that everybody needs to know. Listen to this. 1 John 3, verse 8 says, he who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Say that with me, everybody. Say it. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Jesus saved us from Satan's authority. Jesus saved us from Satan's control. Jesus saved us from Satan's kingdom. One more. Colossians chapter 1. Watch this now. And then we're going to give you an invitation. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. It is somewhere in there. Here we go. Listen to this. Giving thanks. Colossians 1, verse 12 and 13. Giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Listen to this. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed. I like the better word. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Man, those are good verses. These Bible lessons are on our website, lifeinchristchurch.net. And I put out a lot of verses this morning. If you want to listen to them more than one time, if you're listening by the radio, because this is why we're doing this program, you can go to lifeinchristchurch.net and listen to this more than one time. I would get a Bible and I would mark these verses and let the Holy Spirit speak to you and minister to you through these verses. These are four truths every person should know. God created and loves the world. The devil is the God of the world. Jesus conquered the devil and he's the Savior of the world. And we're saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're listening today and the Holy Spirit has ministered to you, the Bible says that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. It's with the heart you believe, and it's with the mouth that confession is made unto. You believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and you confess him with your mouth as Lord. If you want to do that with me this morning. You'll be delivered from the power of darkness and transferred into the kingdom of the Son of God's love. Say this with me. Say, dear God, I've heard the gospel. I've heard these wonderful truths, and I want to receive them into my life. Jesus died for the ungodly, and that's me. So I want to receive what he did for me by grace through faith. I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins and rose from the dead for my salvation. I confess him now as Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, you're a new creature in Christ, you're a child of God, and you have a right to all the things in God's kingdom. Now, you're going to have to deal with tribulation and persecution and distress, but you don't have to put up with sickness and disease and depression and poverty and lack, because you've been delivered from the curse of the law. Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to share these things. I know there's people that are listening and that are receiving it, and we give you the glory for it. We thank you for the finances. Thank you for people like James Taylor that are committed to making sure this word gets out. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise in the holy and mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen.